Good morning and welcome to each one in Jesus' name this morning. Special welcome to our visitors. We're glad to have you here with us this morning. Thinking especially this morning of Gerald and Lisa Schrock and the tragic loss of their young son and the extended family, I'd like if we could just let's bow our heads and just have a moment of special prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you this morning with broken hearts, and we know that you are the ruler and the master of the universe. We know that you are also our gentle shepherd, and that you care about us and the things that we face. Lord, I pray especially now that you would be with Gerald and Elisa and their family. I pray that you would be close to them, help them to feel your presence and your peace. I pray that you'd be with the extended Schrock and Yoder families as well, that you would be near to them as they face life now. I pray that you would help them to feel your love and your presence in a special way. Watch over and care for them as they go through this difficult time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my devotional this morning is The Solid Rock. I'm going to start off reading a verse out of 1 Samuel chapter 2. It says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." Here on Wednesday evening at the closing program, the eighth graders sang that song, "The Solid Rock." And that's kind of, I'd been thinking along these lines of Christ as a rock, and that kind of, I guess you could say, solidified in my mind the direction that I wanted to look at this morning, the things I wanted to look at. And one of my favorite songs is "Will Your Anchor Hold?" It talks in there about our anchor being fastened to the solid rock, or fastened to the rock that cannot move. And those are all references to God or Christ. And so for a short devotional this morning, I'd like to look at some of these verses that refer to God or to Christ as our rock, and see the meanings that's in that for us. One of the first things that I think of is, why a rock? Why would God be likened to a rock? What are the attributes of a rock? What's the biblical understanding, the context in which rocks or stones were used in the Bible? One is as a weapon. Think of David and Goliath. Think of David's, there were 200 slingers that David had, left-handed slingers who could throw a stone, and it says they would not miss. Stones or rocks were also used as writing tools if they wanted something to last. Think of the commandments graven in tables of stone. They were used as tools for grinding grain. They were used as monuments to commemorate events, to honor people, to serve as boundaries or markers. They were used in altars. And also they were used, it was the term of a rock or a stone, was used metaphorically to denote something that was strong and steadfast or a refuge. Rocks are unchanging. They're constant, unless there's some influence by strong outside forces. And even in modern times, people who stand strong are referred to as rocks. General Stonewall Jackson, I don't actually remember what his first name was, because he's always referred to as Stonewall because of his resilience in battle. There's stone castles and towers and keeps that still stand today because of the resilience of rock. The Rocky Mountains are called that because of their composition. The other thing that I think of as an attribute of rocks, especially thinking of large boulders that are down by the sea, is that they are beautified by storms. When in the sunshine, they turn often a dusty, dingy gray. But when a storm comes along, and they're lashed by waves and rain, they glisten, and they're burnished by it. the rough edges are rounded off, and it becomes a beautiful thing. They're actually beautified by a storm. I'm just going to read a number of verses here, not necessarily even giving all the references that refer to, and I'm not going to read all of the verses that refer to Christ as a rock, because there are so many. But starting in the Old Testament, I'm going to start in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, it says, "And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence." You see the how he kind of elaborated on the idea of a rock. The God of my rock, what is the rock? It's my shield, it's my salvation, it's my high tower, my refuge. Those are all contained in this idea of God being our rock. Further on in 2 Samuel, it says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. And the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men shall be just, ruling in the fear of God. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken." Those are all references from the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it picks it right up. And a number of these refer back to these verses that we just read out of the Old Testament. Christ said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And the last one I'm going to read is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it says, "And all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now I'd like to look a little bit at some of these analogies that are brought out in these verses of how a rock typifies God or Christ. One of the things that it brings up repeatedly is that of strength. And for those who look to Christ for power, he gives it. He has it available. And the verses and the context in which these verses are presented make it clear that trials will continue to come, but we have the strength on our side. It talks about, in a number of places, about the rock being one of stumbling or of offense. Why would God want to be a stumbling block? Don't we try to do away with those? I think the key is in Isaiah 8, which I read, where it says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear and your dread. He will be a sanctuary or a rock of offense." The same rock. And I think that tells us that the difference is not in the rock. The difference is in the people. It's in how we approach the rock. Christ will be a sanctuary to us if we approach him in fear and dread. But if you think about it, what do you stumble over? You stumble over something that's down below your height. And if that's the way that we look at God, that we are in control, that we've got things, or that we don't need God, we will stumble over that same rock. That if we realize actually how small we are, that rock can be a sanctuary to us. Talks of the rock as a cornerstone, and that's the most important part of the foundation. And the foundation is the most important part of the building. Everything bases off of this. A cornerstone that is laid right sets the path for the square of the building, making sure it's square. It sets the level for that foundation, making sure that the building isn't off kilter. And it is what everything else bases off of. And our lives also base off our relationship with God. And I had to think, is Christ our cornerstone? Or is he our mantelpiece decoration? Too many times, I believe, we treat Christ as something that we want to have around. We want this blessing, but we don't want to have to do all that's required. We don't actually want to have to build off his example and his teachings, but we want that blessing. And so we use Christ as a mantelpiece decoration instead of as our cornerstone. Or maybe we just say he's one of the bricks in the building. Is he our cornerstone, or is he just a piece of my life? Now, of course, that doesn't actually happen, because God will never simply be a piece of your life. He wants it all. He requires it all. But sometimes I think maybe we treat him in that way, as simply a piece of our life. It talks about the rock as a foundation. And I love this picture, because here we have the rock as the cornerstone and as the foundation on which the cornerstone is laid. All encompassing. No chance of failure in that foundation. And that's how much he cares for us. That he will not only be the building block for us to base off of, but also the foundation beneath that. Talks of a rock of refuge, a place to go when the storms are beating hard, when we're exhausted. A rock of refuge in this context is the place where you can go when you have no options of your own strength. You can go there and be totally secure. And we can always be secure in the love of God. We can be totally secure in the promises of God, because God always keeps his promise. You can be totally secure in the will of God for your life, which is that you bring glory to him through your life. You can be totally secure in the solid rock. What does this all mean for me, these analogies? When I think of a foundation, we live in a society that hates absolutes. There are whole college courses that are dedicated to making sure the students come out of there rejecting anything that is absolute. They dedicate themselves to denying absolutes, which I think is absolutely foolish. Many people go through life feeling aimless, afraid, unsure, adrift, because they've been taught that there's nothing they can hold on to. There's nothing that's secure. There's nothing that is quite what it seems. Everything is simply a matter of opinion or a figment of your imagination. Everything's up for debate. They're taught that morality is subjective. Any concept of right or wrong that you may have is a bias that you'll need to fight against. Is it any wonder all the violence and immorality we see in our world, when there's nothing to hold on to? But in a world that hates absolutes, we can be absolutely sure that our God is a sure foundation. He's the ultimate authority. His word is truth. He has set the standard of right and wrong. And we can live productive, upright, focused lives because he is our solid rock. It means that Christ can be my example. We follow the steadfast example of Christ, our cornerstone. He set the bar for us to aim for, and we build with the square lines that are set by him. We follow his example, and in doing so, we can be a shelter and a defense to hurting, frightened people. We can be a comfort and a help to those who are afraid and drifting. We can be caring to those who are exhausted. Christ is changeless. He's constant. He'll always be with us. God will always be with you. Always. The question is, will you stay close to him? God is a rock that will not move away from you. But will you stay close to him? Will you move away from him? Christ will always be with us. Always. Will you stay close to him? Also, I see that it's important to be on the right side of the rock. He will be your sanctuary, or he will be your stumbling block. He will be your sanctuary, or you can be ground to powder. Which is up to you. You can be ground to powder, fighting to be your own man, or you can build with confidence on the solid rock. God is our rock of foundation. He's our rock of building. He's our rock of security. God is our rock of safety. He's our rock of refreshment and of strength. He'll never leave us, and he will weather every storm. So let's stay close to the solid rock. Let's kneel in prayer.